We make that song our prayer this morning, that God will speak, that His holy word will meet us and change us. And in that very pursuit, we are delighted this morning to open God's word together as we turn to the message for this morning. Invite you to open your Bible to two passages. The first is Matthew 6. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer together. And then also to Psalm 67, which you'll find on page 607 in your pew Bible. Psalm 67. We are in a series on the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we considered the radical invitation that Jesus gives us in the opening words of the prayer when we get to pray the words, "Our Father in heaven." Only Jesus' disciples get to truly use these words. We are invited to call on God as our Father in heaven. And the two things we took away from that is, number one, we can pray with confidence because we have this access. And then we talked about how when we pray, we never pray alone because it's our Father in heaven. And this morning, we're going to look at the very first of six petitions that Jesus teaches us. These are what we should pray when we pray. And these are descriptive, not prescriptive so much. These are descriptive of what Jesus calls us to do when we pray. And this morning we're going to look at, what does it mean to pray the words, "Hallowed be your name"? Now, I'm pretty sure that nobody here in this room used the word "hallowed" this week. And that's okay. I mean, it's an older language word, but it means to be holy or to make holy. And here at the start, I just want to be clear that this is a petition. This is not a declaration. We are not saying, "Oh God, we're so glad you're holy." This is a petition that He would make us holy when we pray this prayer. And as we do each Sunday in the series, we're going to look first at what the Heidelberg Catechism has to teach us, what we profess that we believe when we say the words, "Hallowed be your name." And this morning, it's question and answer 122, or Lord's Day 47. I'll read the question, and let's read this answer together as we confess our faith together this morning. What does the first request mean? "Hallowed be your name" means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. This is the first petition, the first of six. How we can and how we ought to pray that God's name would be hallowed. Now again, that means to be glorified, to be honored. This is not a declaration. We're not saying, "Our Father in heaven, your name is holy." We're praying, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed or made holy in and through us." And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we look at Matthew 6 and also Psalm 67. Before we go any further, though, let's pause and ask the Spirit to be present as we hear God speak to us again this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we sang just a moment ago, we pray you would speak to us, that through the power of your word and Holy Spirit, every other voice, at least for this little time in this big week, would be silenced so that we can hear you. Hear you speak to us again, a holy word, a mighty word, a word that has changed lives and can change us. Do this work, O God, we pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, amen. Invite you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. Our first passage is Matthew 6. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples as part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the kingdom priority he gives them. He says, and when you pray, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then our passage from Psalm 67. Again, we're looking at that first petition, hallowed be your name. And this is what the psalmist says about that sort of posture. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is God's word for us this morning. You may be seated once again. I shared this a few years ago in a different sermon, but it came to mind this week as I was thinking about this passage. But it was around in the 1940s, give or take, that the Hokey Pokey song was very popular. I don't even think it's a politically correct title anymore. But in the 1950s, according to my source, which is Google, according to my source, the Hokey Pokey was a chart topper for quite a while. I don't get that, but here it was. What is it? For the uninitiated, the Hokey Pokey is a little song and dance that invites us to put our left arm in and to take it out and put our left foot in and our right foot in and so forth and to shake it all about. Well, they were really wild in the 1940s, weren't they? But it's the last verse that came to mind as I was thinking about this morning's sermon because I believe it's very true. And in fact, I think there's great parallels to the call of following Jesus. But the last verse is this. Put your whole self in. And you'll take your whole self out. But put your whole self in and shake it all about. And I can't make that work when it comes to the preaching here this morning. I don't know about the shaking about. But I like this image of putting your whole self in. And that's really what hallowed be your name, as Jesus teaches his disciples, is asking us to do. Not just our right arm or left foot or our right leg or left leg or whatever parts of our body, but our whole self in glory, as we just professed in the catechism. All of that comes to mind as I think about this first petition, hallowed be your name. Again, this is not a declaration, and I say this as a bit of point of confession because I have to. I think that for most of my prayer life when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, I sort of presumed that this was a declaration. This is an obvious statement. Of course God's holy. You know, holy are your name. Holy is your name. And rightly so, it is, however, a petition. We're asking God to do something when we pray these words. We're asking God to do something, and that is through our whole self in the gospel through Jesus Christ, that he would be glorified through us and in us and by us and so forth. And this morning, we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at that using the headlines of the priority of this prayer, its purpose lived out very rationally and holistically in our lives, and then the practice of it. And let's begin with the first one, which is the priority. Now, whether we are aware of it or not, the reality is, though we don't use the word hallowed in normal conversation, all of us hallow something. All of us do. We honor, we value, we prioritize, we do this every day. Realistically speaking, there are not two kinds of people in the world, hallowers and non-hallowers. We are all of us, hallowers. We are all people who give honor, give glory, give prestige, or whatever you want to call it, to something. So when Jesus teaches us as the first petition in this prayer, he's inviting us to make sure that it's God and his name that gets the priority in our life. Less of me, more of you. Less of my name, more of your name. And that goes to our relationships and to our finances, to everything. God, as the psalmist says, you know, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but but to you. And here's, it's almost as radical as the opening invitation to use our Father in heaven. Here is Jesus once again giving this radical benchmark and measurement of the Christian life. Hallowed, oh yeah, we're on that page, we can do that, be your name. Not my job, not my image, not my money, not my reputation, not any of this stuff. And here's where it's so important for us to see that the gospel is key to getting this prayer right. The gospel is essential to it, in fact. We've heard this every week, and I'll say it probably every week, and that is that the Lord's Prayer can only be genuinely prayed. Now, I know a lot of people use the prayer. It's used in public circumstances and events and stuff, but I mean genuinely, I mean really, truly praying this prayer. Only it is for those who know the Father through Jesus Christ. It's actually quite exclusive in that regard. Faith is essential to this prayer. And if we're going to pray the prayer, hallowed be your name, we're going to need the gospel as we will for any other of the petitions. You see, it's through the gospel as those who've been set apart, and 1 Peter talks about this, we've been chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's those who've been set apart that Jesus says, now I invite you to pray, hallowed be God's name in your life. Because what Jesus knows, which is why the gospel is so important, Jesus knows if we give anything other than God that priority, and any number of things can come to mind, and I've listed a few, our job, our image, our money, just think about all the things we tend to idolize in our culture. And Jesus knows that if we give anything other than God, anything other than his name, that position or priority, then we're creating a lot of trouble for ourselves. And so to the Hokey Pokey song, we can't just give God our arm and leg and heart. We need to give our whole self to him. Because he alone, and this is where it's such a radical thing, and I'm like most of you or all of you, I pray the words of this prayer, tend to just roll off my tongue, and I don't always understand what they mean, but now all of a sudden, God is saying to us this morning, hold on a minute, this is a big deal. When you pray the words, hallowed be your name, you are saying, as those who know the gospel, that God is the priority, that his glory, his worth, his honor, his praise is the number one thing in your life. That's where it goes. So there's the priority of this prayer. The priority over all of this. And the reality is we struggle with this because we tend to give God, we tend not to give God what God deserves. The Catechism talks about this, right? We should bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and all that shines forth of them, but we tend not to do that. And so already this opening priority kind of comes at me and says, this is not easy. I'm going to struggle with this. You're going to struggle with this. And yet we still pray the prayer. We still pray the words. Hallowed be your name. So there's the big priority. And now let's talk about the purpose. And how do we live this out? What's sort of the planned impact for you and me as we go through all of this? And here it is. What does it look like? The purpose or the plan, the purpose or the plan is that we dedicate ourselves to the pursuit of holiness. That's the purpose. The priority is clear, but the purpose is that we will seek to hallow his name and not our own. We will seek to hallow his name and not our status. We will hallow his name and not our job and not our bank account and not anything else, anything that we might give ultimate value to. God's name alone. Another way to put this, and I think I came across this in a resource. These aren't my words, this one here, but another way, they put it like this. This prayer cannot be a halfway prayer. We can't say, God, I'll give you my right hand, but I'm not going to give you my left. I'll give you my right foot, but not my left. I'll give you my bank account, but not my marriage. We don't get to do that. This is not a halfway prayer. I think that's a great image of discipleship, of the Christian gospel impacting my life and you. I don't get to compartmentalize where God gets to rule and reign. It's hallowed be your name over everything. And the profound longing of our hearts needs to be this. Here's this purposely lived out, the profound longing of my heart, the longing of your heart, when we pray these words, is to see God glorified at my work, glorified at school, glorified in my relationships, glorified in my private life, my online life, and all that stuff. It's purposely lived out in every single way. I love how the Catechism says it. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do. Pretty well covers everything, right? So that your name will never be blasphemed, and that's a significant word throughout Scripture because that's almost the unpardonable sin. It's not quite, but it's there. The second commandment's clear on this one too. So that your name can never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Always. In the quiet of 4 o'clock in the morning when your heart is wrestling with some issue in your life, even there. In the moments when we're wondering about our future, the purpose of this prayer is that it applies at all times. I'll get back to why the gospel is so important to all of this, and that is that faith is so necessary to pray these words. Because when and where it comes to those who believe, the purpose cannot be misconstrued. We, if we are in Christ, we bear the name of God wherever we go. You are his advertising. When Jesus says you are the light of the world, he really means it. When you are salt and all of that for him, that's a constant. We bear his name. And so therefore, we bear the responsibility of, as Jesus prays, to hallow his name. And now let's look at Psalm 67, which is not a particularly long psalm. If you have your Bible open, you can see there. It's not particularly long, but it's compact in all that it's doing for God's people when it comes to this prayer. It's all about recognizing the gospel in verses 1 and 2. God, you've been gracious to us, and we wouldn't be here apart from you. And then if you see the psalm, verse 3 and 5 are identical. Both of them say, may all the peoples praise you. There's the purpose lived out from the priority. May all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. That's what we're doing every time we say this prayer. Because it's not only for our benefit. The Catechism is very personal and it's wonderful for this. But it's not only for my benefit that I hallow God's name. As the psalmist reminds us, it's a blessing for everybody. We are salt and light for Jesus for their benefit. For their blessing too, as the psalmist says. Because when we are making God's name the priority and living it out purposely, as in other words, every square inch of my life is for him, there are blessings that come, not just for me, well there are, but not just for me. It's also for my neighbor. It's also for those who need to hear about Jesus, and on it goes. And there's this purpose to this first petition. A wonderful God-given purpose, a kingdom. And we're going to look at your kingdom come, your will be done in future Sundays here. But here it is, this wonderful purpose, and that is that God will be praised through me and through you everywhere. It's one way of saying, when theologians talk about this, but every follower of Jesus Christ needs to know this, it's one way of saying that genuine conversion truly impacts everything. The genuine conversion truly influences everything, and it makes a difference. And when we invite Jesus in to our life, again, we can't halfway that prayer. It can't be compartmentalized. It's everything. Since we're not our own, as the Catechism says in question answer one, but we belong to Jesus, our purpose in living, therefore, is also radically changed. And this might be one of the hard things to learn if somebody's a new convert to Jesus Christ, but it's still something that if you can walk with Jesus for 70 or 80 years, you still struggle with too. Psalm 115, I quoted this a moment ago, but the psalmist says, not to us, O Lord, but to you. Be all the glory, all the praise because of your love and faithfulness. And that's what Psalm 67 is. Again, it's not a very long psalm. Most of us would probably memorize this in a little short amount of time. But may the peoples praise you. That's what it is. Not the beauty of a building or a sanctuary, not the strength of my skills or abilities at work, although God is honored when that is applied in our life, but God, to you be all the glory. May people look at me and see you. As Jesus says in Matthew 5, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's as if we are praying these words, Father, the concern nearest to my heart, and maybe you're making this prayer first thing in the morning or even at the end of the day, but Father, the concern nearest to my heart, the one that is shaping my life, is that your name be honored, that your glory be seen in everything I do. That I would be so in tune with this that more than anything else, your name is the priority, that I'm living on purpose. And I can tell you, I can say this personally, but I can say this also as your pastor and walking with so many of you for so many years, that where this is done well, there is the blessings that the psalmist talks about. That Jesus isn't kidding when he says, live your life before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify him. That it really is how it works in the kingdom economy, in the kingdom work that he's doing. That as we are hallowing his name, not just in the one part of life, but in every single part, when it's forming and we're being shaped by this, then we truly, I say this with a full confidence, we begin to see why this prayer and why prayer in general is the most important thankfulness we can give to God, which we heard last week when we talked about prayer. So there's the priority. It's God's name, not yours. It's God's honor, God's glory, God's praise. There's the priority. When Jesus says, hallowed be your name, he's reorienting your heart and my heart to think about what needs to be the priority. And now lived on purpose means every square inch, every part of it, the goal of my daily life and walk with him. But let's talk about some of the practice. And maybe we're going to dig down a little bit deeper here in all of this. Because if somebody said and asked you this morning, could you give me a record of your past week? Or even someone, unfortunately, this probably could happen, but if somebody were to record everything you did this week, or, and they can't do this, thanks be to God, if they could record every thought, how would we do on the hallow God's name chart? Because the truth is, the Catechism tells us to bless, worship, and praise God everywhere, but we aren't so good at that. So what would it mean? What would it look like practically? If we could pray and do pray, hallowed be your name, what would it look like? What would it look like at work this week? What would it look like to go to school this week and say, hallowed be your name? These are very practical questions. What would it look like for us to say, hallowed be your name, and to spend time with our family, even the ones we don't like? What would it look like to say, hallowed be your name, O God, and spend money this week? Or how we spend time online? How would it look different? From somebody who, or should, obviously it should, than somebody who doesn't know Jesus. What would this prayer practically lived out begin to make a change in your life, in my life? How will it impact just how we love our neighbor or have compassion for those who are hurting or show care for those who are suffering? See, the priority and the purpose impacts everything. So the practice is going to be universal. It's going to be across the board. And so if somebody were to come to you this morning and say, I have a record of your life the last 7 days, how do you think you would do? How do you think, I don't know how I do, probably not as well as I'd like, but on the hallowed be your name prayer that Jesus teaches us. Stop and think long enough, and I hope we begin to see what the gospel does for those who know Christ, and that is that it really impacts everything. It's about everything. There's this radical impact of the first petition. Here's the general rule. And I said this already, but let me just say it again. We don't get to pick where God's name is to be hallowed. There's the thought that I hope you'll go from here this morning. You don't get to pick where God's name needs to be hallowed in your life. You don't get to pick that it's just this hour on Sunday morning and then you can do whatever you like the rest of the week. We don't get to do that. We don't get to choose that when we're driving down the road and somebody cuts us off, though I'll admit that's a hard moment too. We don't get to pick. Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, after you understand the access you have to our Father in heaven, he lays this radical moment in front of us and said, now here it is, hallowed be your name. And we want to say, well, but where, Jesus? And he says, no, let me go back to the beginning. Hallowed be your name. What's the priority? It's his name. How's that lived purposely? Well, it's everywhere. And how do we practice that? Well, here's some more examples. The Christian life recognizes that God's name is meant to be hallowed everywhere, but it also means that could be through struggles. In the economy of God, I don't understand how this all works. I surrender and submit to where God is in all of this, but sometimes he may choose for you to hallow his name through immense struggles. Or maybe he'll invite you to hallow his name through a temptation in which you're being called to surrender to him. I read this week a story of a man who'd been diagnosed recently with Lou Gehrig's disease. If you're not familiar with Lou Gehrig's disease, it's a degenerative disease that slowly breaks down your nerves in your body until the last organ really functioning is your brain. But your body physically is just wearing out. It's horrible. And you probably know people who've been through this. I have too. But the testimony of this man, been diagnosed for a couple years, and so he knows there's an end coming sooner rather than later, and he testifies to the glory of God in the midst of his Lou Gehrig's diagnosis. In other words, he didn't get to choose where God wants to be hallowed in his life. He hallowed God's name through the struggle. Sometimes God will do that. Sometimes God will allow struggle so that the prayer that when we pray this petition, we discover what it means in that place too. And again, other examples. Maybe it's struggling with a specific sin in our life. Not the sin. That's not where God is hallowed, but the struggle against the sin. Maybe he's being hallowed there for us. Or it might be a trial. It might be a fear we have. And there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety in our hearts, in our culture today. Maybe he'll be hallowed in our longing for peace and not experiencing it yet, other than his presence. See, this, I'm painting very broadly because this is how wide the prayer request is. All of it to say that as we need to hear about this morning, there is a priority to this prayer. It's a purpose that it must be in us. And when it's put into practice, you don't get to choose, I don't get to choose where God's name is being hallowed. But when we get this, and the Holy Spirit works in the Christian life daily for us to surrender to this very truth, but when we understand what these words mean, my prayer, and I pray for all of us as well, that our prayer together in the faith that we have will be poured out to the one who shows us all of this so beautifully, right? Jesus, who gave his whole self at the cross. So we come back to the gospel. Because Jesus held back nothing in obedience to the Father, nothing. He hallowed God's name in a life of surrender that ultimately included going to the cross for our sake, that we might not bear God's wrath against our sin. He bore it wholly, completely. He died. He rose again. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. Praise be to God. And now to those who trust in him, which I pray is all of us here again this morning, and every Sunday is a recommitment Sunday. Every Sunday is an opportunity for say, I'm on team Jesus. I want to hallow God's name in everywhere. To those who trust in him, to those who embrace God's mercy, because that mercy never disappoints us. He now invites us to pray these words. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be made holy as it is already holy, but may it be shown to be holy as I prioritize your name in my life and as I purpose all that I do around that name, because I'm not going to just give you my right arm and my left foot and whatever else. My whole self, I'm in. We're going to sing these words in a moment. Take my life and let it be consecrated, hallowed, Lord, to thee. Song's going to go on, and it's, I love the breadth of it. We're going to sing all the verses. I think there's six, maybe even seven, but that's okay. Take my moments, take my hands, take my feet, take my voice. You get a sense in which this writer in the song is getting it, right? Take my lips, take my silver and gold, take my mind, take my will, take my love, take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. This, people of God, is active surrender. It is surrender to the one who is worthy of our honor and glory and praise, because Christ makes us a holy people. We'll not achieve it perfectly this side of his return. Not ever. But someday, one day, until the day he comes back, or until we stand before him, may this be our priority as Jesus calls us to. May we live it on purpose, and let's practice it everywhere. Hallowed, O God, hallowed be your name. Let's pray together. God in heaven, the task before us is great. But we are not left to our own strength. We trust, O God, through the working of your Holy Spirit, you'll once again renew our hearts to fulfill the duty, the calling you've placed before us in Jesus. Help us to live this life of surrender, this life of wholeness to you. Take all that we are, O God, we give it to you. Your name, to your name belongs all the glory, not to us, but to you. Through the power of your Spirit, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we go from this place this morning, may your name truly get the priority it deserves, both for your glory and for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.